Today is tax day. The Internal Revenue Service has endured years of budget cuts, and it's now in the throes of a political fight over President Trump's tax returns, which he has not released to the public. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us as he does each Monday from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
Over the weekend, House Democrats tried to ratchet up the pressure and gave the IRS an April 23rd deadline to release the president's tax returns. Tell us what happens behind the scenes. How does the IRS commissioner go about deciding whether or not to release the president's returns?
It's interesting because typically on tax day, the IRS stands between millions of households and their income. Why is this year different from all other years? Well, this year, the IRS stands between the Democrats in the House and the White House. And the fight here, as you laid out, is pretty simple. House Democrats want to see Donald Trump's tax returns. And the White House wants to resist those efforts at any cost. So the IRS is a part of the Treasury Department. That department is overseen by the Secretary of the Treasury, Steven Mnuchin. And Mnuchin has resisted Democrats strongly. So it's interesting here because it's pretty common for voters to see the president's tax returns. In fact, many of the Democratic candidates for president have already released their returns. But in this case, as in so many cases, under Trump, the IRS has been, again, politicized.
But if you take away the politics, aren't there clear rules about this?
Yes. Well, there is a procedure. The procedure that's happening now is that Representative Richard Neal, who's chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, he sends a request to the IRS commissioner. But the IRS commissioner essentially is under Mnuchin, and Mnuchin has essentially slow-walked that request. He's essentially said, I think this is very complicated. There's a lot of things that we have to make sure we don't release if we do release these tax returns. So he's walking this very slowly. And the House, in return, has sent a letter to the IRS saying that Mnuchin's concerns lack merit. So they're basically going back and forth and back and forth, essentially trying to create a deadline on the House side to accelerate this process. And then on the White House side, they're essentially trying to delay any possible discovery of the president's tax returns, which the Democrats have been trying to learn about for the last 4 years.
So as somebody who watches the IRS closely, how political do you think it's become in recent years?
I think it's become extraordinarily political. I mean, Trump politicizes everything that he touches, and then Trump's opponents politicize everything that Trump touches as well. I think that the reason that this fight is so important, both for the Trump White House and for Democrats, is that there was hope among Democrats that the Mueller report was going to provide ammunition for their party to take down the president. But the bar summary of that report, however, said no collusion, no conspiracy, and no hard evidence of obstruction of justice. We'll see what the report itself says when the redacted version is released on Thursday. But the thinking among Democrats is that Trump's tax returns might provide for Democrats that which the Mueller report did not, which is proof of malfeasance, possible proof of violations of the Emoluments Clause. It's not entirely clear what we'll find. But again, I do think it's important to say that, yes, this is a political skirmish, but it is also customary for presidents and even presidential candidates to allow the public to see their tax returns.
So the IRS as an agency has seen, as we said, years of budget cuts. The number of auditors has dropped to under 10,000. It did so in 2017, according to Bloomberg News. That's the lowest level since the 1950s, a time when the agency was far smaller than it is now. Audits are at a 15-year low. What are some of the other consequences of the cuts?
The sad thing is that we don't entirely know what the consequences of these cuts are going to be. Because one thing that a beefed up, well-staffed IRS does is it cracks down on white-collar crime. It exposes white-collar crime and then it cracks down on it. And so if you have a bureaucracy like the IRS that's essentially on life support, what you're going to get, I would suspect, is a lot of white-collar crime run amok. A lot of people, not especially rich people, not paying their taxes, finding ways out of their tax bill. But the IRS won't have the staff to crack down on that crime and provide for the government the revenue that is rightfully theirs. So I do think that in general, we tend to hate on the IRS. We tend to have this instinct that we want to starve them for funds. They're the police of our own household budgets. But I think it would behoove us to say, if what we want to do is crack down on white-collar crime and even reduce the amount of time that it takes us ordinary households to do our taxes, what we should hope for, ironically, is a strong IRS that supports the public interest.
Why do you think that, as you have said, that the government should do our taxes for us?
Well, about half of American households earn all of their income from an employer's wages, so the W-2, which an IRS can see, or interest from one bank, which the IRS can easily find out. So the IRS could easily just send tens of millions of Americans, let's say 70 million Americans, a completed tax form by mail, by even text, and it could just say, sign on the dotted line. Bingo. Taxes would be done in 15 seconds. Other countries do this. In Sweden, the vast majority of taxpayers don't do battle, don't have warfare every March and April with their tax documents with these fine print questions and these itemized deductions. They just get a document from their government that has all the relevant information right there on the paper, and they sign on the dotted line. We could do this. We could save millions, billions of dollars and thousands of hours if we simply let the IRS do our work for us. But to do that, we need a fully staffed bureaucracy.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Nice to speak with you.
Good to speak with you, too.